श्रीशुक उवाच एवं विधानि कर्माणि गोपाकृष्णस्य दीक्षया एवं विधानि कर्माणि गोपकृष्णस्य दीक्षते अथर्वीर्याविदा प्रोक्षु समभ्येत्या सुविस्मिता। Sukadeva Goswami said, the cowherd men were astonished when they saw Krishna's activities, such as lifting Govardhan Hill. Unable to understand his transcendental potency, they approached Nanda Maharaj and spoke as follows. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this verse as follows. During Lord Krishna's pastimes of lifting Sri Govardhan Hill, the cowherd men simply enjoyed the spiritual bliss of the Lord's activities without analyzing them. But afterwards, when they had returned to their homes, perplexity arose in their hearts. Thus they thought, now we have directly seen child Krishna lift Govardhan Hill, and we remember how he killed Putana and other demons, extinguished the forest fire, and so on. At the time, we thought that these extraordinary acts occurred because of a benediction from the Brahmins, because of Nanda Maharaj's great fortune, or that perhaps this boy had achieved the mercy of Lord Narayan and was thus empowered by him. But all these presumptions are false, because an ordinary seven-year-old boy could never hold up the king of mountains for seven whole days. Krishna is not human. He must be the Supreme Lord himself. But on the other hand, child Krishna loves it when we coddle him, and he becomes morose when we, his uncles and well-wishers, simply worldly cowherd men, do not give him attention. He appears to become hungry and thirsty, steals yogurt and milk, sometimes plays tricks, tells lies, chatters childishly, and tends the calves. If he is actually the Supreme Lord, why would he do these things? Don't these things indicate that he is an ordinary human child? We are totally unable to establish the truth of his identity. Therefore, let us go and inquire from the highly intelligent king of Braja, Nanda Maharaj, and he shall free us from our doubts. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the cowherd men thus made up their minds, and then they entered Nanda Maharaj's great assembly hall and questioned him as described in the following verse. Nanda Maharaj at this time was residing in the area of Brajabhumi called Nandagram. And for those of you who have been to Nandagram, there is a very beautiful temple on the top of the hill, Nanda Bhavan, which is been identified by the great Rasika Bhaktas and the previous Acharyas to be the very place of the residence of Nanda Yashoda, where Lord Sri Krishna and Sri Balaramji engaged in their wonderful childhood pastimes. Close to that, there is a place called Nanda Vaitak, and that was the assembly hall of Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men. It was a place they would meet to discuss very important topics involving the welfare of all of the residents of Braja. But ultimately, whenever they would meet there, all their topics would simply center around glorifying the most beloved of their hearts, Sri Krishna. In fact, the residents of Vrindavan could not stop even for a moment thinking of Krishna or discussing amongst themselves the wonderful qualities and pastimes of Sri Krishna. This is called ragatmika bhakti, where one has such intense, spontaneous love for the Lord. One enters into a particular loving relationship with the Lord. And one cannot consider any other reality outside of Krishna. But of course, in the mood of Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras, all of the residents of Sri Brijadham were thinking Krishna to be ordinary child, just to protect their loving intimacy with him. One time it is explained, the cowherd men, they began to complain to Nanda Maharaj that how is it that you are chastising Krishna and treating him like your own son? We see sometimes you punish him, sometimes you tie him with ropes, sometimes you threaten to beat him with sticks, sometimes you speak very chastising words toward him, and Mother Yashoda, very much she is doing like this. But we think that this may be very offensive because he's not an ordinary child. Look at what he has done. He has killed the great demon Bhutana. He has destroyed Trinavarta, the whirlwind. He has with his tiny little foot during his intimacy, he has knocked down the cart and killed the demon Sakatasura. He has torn down the twin Arjuna trees by dragging the grinding mortar between them. And then two wonderful celestial demigods began to worship him. And we have seen how he has killed Bakasura, Aghasura, and now he is lifting the Govardhan hill. And you are treating him like an ordinary child? I think that this is very offensive. We should begin to respect this Krishna and worship Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj, blinded by parental affection, began to speak. You think Krishna is such a great... You think that perhaps he is a great yogi, or maybe he is a demigod, or maybe he is an incarnation of God himself? Well, what kind of great personality? We read in the scriptures that great personalities have control of their senses. But we see Krishna, this Gopal, he has no control of his senses. Jive pele vishaya sagore. That if you can control the tongue, all your other senses are naturally under control. One who cannot control his tongue cannot control any other senses. And Krishna is always eating. And if you don't give him what he wants to eat, he will go out and steal it. Practically throughout the day, you will always see some butter or some yogurt in his hand, and he is eating and eating and eating. And if somehow or other it doesn't taste just the way he likes it to taste, or if he doesn't get his food just when he's supposed to get his food, he has temper tantrums. That's another thing. Great yogis are supposed to have complete control over anger. But you just see, you don't give him his food on time. If it's a little too hot or a little too cold or not sweet enough, He'll break every pot in the house. He'll throw everything down on the floor. And he'll scream and he'll cry. And great yogis, they're also supposed to be fearless. But this Krishna, when it rains at night and there's lightning, with tears in his eyes, he'll run as fast as he can from his bed to jump in bed with Mother Yashoda to wrap his arms around her and say, please protect me, please save me. And he'll be shivering, trembling in fear. And great personalities, they're supposed to be very honest. But Krishna, when do you ever get an honest answer from him? He eats dirt. You ask him, have you eaten dirt? No, I haven't eaten dirt. He goes to the neighboring houses and he breaks their pots and he steals their butter. And you ask him, have you done this, Krishna? He says, no, I have not done it. Somebody else has done it. Maybe Balaram has done it, but I have not done it. Huh? And great personalities, they are supposed to, paradukaduki, they are supposed to be making other people, their happiness to be their happiness. And they're supposed to be detached. But Krishna, he's so attached, and he's so inconsiderate, that when he goes to another person's house, and somehow or other he cannot find butter or yogurt, he urinates on their floor. What type of consideration is that? That puts them in great misery. And he goes to their babies and he pinches them and he puts water in their ears to make them cry. Are these the behaviors of God? Are these behaviors of a great yogi? You simply do not understand. And then he would begin to laugh. And he would laugh so much. And soon everyone would begin to laugh. And they would be just crying and weeping, thinking, how wonderful is Krishna? And they would laugh and they would cry to such an extent that they would completely forget that they came to lodge complaints against Nanda Maharaj. In fact, whatever reason they came to that assembly house, Nanda Vaitak, in the end, they would always completely forget what they came for because they became so engrossed simply in glorifying the wonderful pastimes of Sri Gopal. So here we find, after Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, the cowherd men were thinking, when Indra sent torrents and torrents of rain, it appeared that our lives and all of our property were going to be destroyed within minutes. But we had no other shelter. So we turned to Krishna. This little 7-year-old child, who's our friend, who we love more than our own children. And then, effortlessly, like a child lifts a harmless mushroom, he rose the king of mountains, Govardhan, Giriraj, over his head and held it up with the little finger of his left hand, and for 7 days, enraptured by his beauty, we stood under the Govardhan Hill, being protected by him. And after we witnessed that Indra himself, he had to surrender to Krishna, the king of heaven had to bow at his lotus feet in a secluded place. How is this possible? And then, perhaps he is God. Perhaps he is the absolute truth, the cause of all causes, that all it is, the source of everything that exists. But then again, is it possible? He loves when we hold him in our arms and we coddle him, and he becomes very, very morose if we do not give him proper attention. He becomes depressed. Sometimes he cries. the Supreme Lord of all beings, who all Brahmins and all demigods are chanting the Vedic hymns to glorify, we are just simple cowherd men. And if we do not give him special attention and rub and smell his head and embrace him, he feels depressed and begins to cry. And he appears to become very hungry and thirsty. In fact, he appears like he's always hungry and thirsty. And Mother Yashoda, it describes that Mother Yashoda, when she would see Krishna stealing butter, she would make so many arrangements. She would think that perhaps the butter that I'm giving him is not good enough. So she would grow special, special grasses. In Vrindavan, the cowherd man, they would grow varieties of wonderful types of grass just to satisfy the cows. But she would grow very, the most special, succulent delicacies of grasses. She would feed particular cows. The best of the cows, of the 900,000 cows, describes that she selected the best 100, and she would give them the best grasses. And then the milk from those 100, she would feed to the best 10. And the milk from the best 10, she would feed to the best 5. And the milk to the best 5, she would feed to the best 2. And the milk from the best 2, she would feed to the best cow. And from that cow, the essence of all Surabhi cows, she would take the cream, then she would churn the cream into butter, and she would put nice sweetener in the butter, and she would offer it to Krishna. Thinking, maybe if I give him this most delicious of all butters, he will be satisfied, and then he will not have to go to all our neighbors' houses to steal theirs. But still, he would steal their butter and yogurt. Simply because Krishna wanted to taste the bhakti of all of the gopis. And the gopis understood this. Sometimes they would come to Mother Yashoda and they would complain. You know what Krishna's doing? It's our butter and yogurt. He breaks our pots. He eats and distributes to his friends. Then he calls all monkeys into our house and starts giving to the monkeys. And then after everybody is fully satisfied by eating so much butter, whatever remains, he starts throwing on the walls and throwing on the ceiling and throwing on the floor, saying this butter is so useless, even the monkeys do not eat. And Mother Yashoda, she would say, perhaps you should hide this butter in darkness so he cannot see. No, this does not work because there's some special divine effulgence that is emanating from your son that lights up the room. Or perhaps you should hide it so that he cannot find it. But somehow he finds it, wherever we hide it. And if he doesn't hide it, that's when he starts passing the urinations on the floor, and that's when he starts harassing us. So Mother Yashoda said, all right, I will punish him. I will keep him home. Meanwhile, Krishna would be standing right there when the gopis would be lodging their complaints. And he would just be looking at Mother Yashoda like he was perfectly innocent. Like, not me. Do you think I would do things like this? And when the gopis would look at Krishna, who was looking down at the floor like he was the most innocent victim of circumstances in the whole creation, how could he do something that wasn't just what everyone loved? Mother Yashoda, her heart would melt when she'd see Krishna. She could not be angry with him upon seeing his beautiful, innocent face. But just for the sake of the other gopis, she smiled and she said, "All right, then I will punish Krishna and keep him at home." And then the other gopis, they would all look at Krishna with smiles on their faces and said, "No, no, no, please do not do that. Because the fact is, the only reason why we milk our cows, the only pleasure we have by making our butter, is the expectation that Krishna will come to steal it. Our whole goal of life is to prepare everything in such a wonderful way that will attract Krishna to come to steal. Other than that, there is no other joy in our life." It is a fact that the Brijvasis, they loved Krishna more than anything or anyone. This was a great, great wonder to Maharaj Parikshit. He was asking Shukadev Goswami, "I know, and you know, and everyone knows how much a parent loves their own children. How is it possible that the Brijvasis, they love Krishna more than their own children? Their whole life was centered around him. And their love for their children was simply based on how they could raise their children in such a way that they could be good friends and give pleasure to Krishna. But Krishna was the ultimate and central object of everyone's affection in Vrindavan. So when Krishna would apparently steal Makan Chora, we should know that he was actually simply reciprocating with the love of his devotees. He was simply attracted by that bhakti. And he was willing even to be misunderstood by all worldly people just to give pleasure to his devotees. Because, of course, it would add a certain excitement. If they would just invite Krishna, like a great sadhu, that please come to my home and eat some butter. That's one way of doing it. But they would make all arrangements externally to hide it and to keep him away. But internally they were just praying, "Krishna, please accept." And then Krishna would have to secretly come in, and they would be watching for him, and he would secretly come in, and he would make so many strategic plans with his friends, and they would actually perform incredible, incredible, creative methods of stealing their butter and yogurt. Sometimes they would disguise themselves. In this way, it was something wonderful that they could talk about. Huh? This was the gossip of Vrindavan. Everyone was always gossiping about Krishna. The tendency of the tongue is to speak about someone, to speak about something. Jivevi, what is that verse? Jivevi Paswamita Matadeva Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. The tongues of the Brijavasis, they were simply glorifying at all times Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, the beautiful pastimes of Govinda. And Krishna's great love for the Brijavasis is that every day, at every moment, he was performing such wonderful, wonderful activities that they never tired speaking his glories. Shukadev Goswami explains to Maharaj Parikshit that the topics of Lord Sri Krishna are so wonderful, they're so sweet to speak and so ambrosial to hear, that we can discuss again and again and again for all eternity and never tire. Even one pastime if you only know one pastime of Krishna, if you only know one name of Krishna. It is so full of infinite, unlimited ras, beauty, and love, that you could chant that one name for the rest of eternity. And the more you concentrate on this holy name, the sweeter and sweeter and sweeter it becomes, the more relishable, the more it engrosses your entire consciousness. Any pastime of Krishna. Sometimes, because of our neophyte condition, we have to learn more and more and more and more, because we become bored with the same thing. This is an unfortunate condition amongst our devotees. Sometimes we read Krishna book. There's hundreds of pastimes of Sri Krishna. But after we read it 2-3 times, we think, I already know Krishna book. So let me, I'm bored reading this book. Let me find some other scripture. For Chaitanya Charitamrita, we've read it a few times. I know all these stories. Now I have, I need to know more. I need to keep my mind busy. Let me know more. The fact is that to learn more and more and more about Krishna is simply because the taste for hearing about Krishna is ever increasing. But the fact it is not because we are dissatisfied. It is because of a spontaneous longing and hankering that develops in the heart as we become purified. But factually, any one pastime, Krishna stealing butter, if we actually had pure hearts, we could repeat that same pastime for all eternity, and it would become more exciting, more engrossing to our mind each time. It is not that we need such large quantities of information, but we simply have to qualitatively learn how to hear. Everything is contained within every syllable of Krishna's names, within every description of his qualities and his lila. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami explains that any conversation about Krishna has infinite, infinite pleasure to the soul. But Krishna, out of his great mercy, he reveals millions and billions and trillions of pastimes. It is described that if Ananta Shesha, with his thousands of hoods and thousands of mouths for the entire span of the creation, was chanting the glories of Krishna, he cannot fully describe even one pastime of the Lord. Krishna is unlimited. In Vrindavan, at every moment, Krishna is simply enacting these charming leelas to engross his devotees constantly in his loving remembrance. And this is the constant activity of Vrindavan, simply discussing Krishna. And sometimes, as it is described, the cowherd man just becomes so engrossed in Krishna that they just put aside all intellectual speculation and just behold his beauty and his wonders. But at other times, as we find in this verse today, after they went home, he began to think, how is it possible? We cannot understand this. Krishna is inconceivable. Is he a small child? Is he an ordinary boy? Or is he the Supreme Absolute Truth? Or is he a great yogi? Who is he? We love him like our own children. But nowhere have we seen children able to do this. So here they are all approaching Nanda Maharaj. And they are about to present their inquiries before him. He is the king of Brajdham. He is the direct and personal father of Krishna. They're thinking, maybe he knows something more than us. Let us find out from him. And tomorrow we will read about the further inquiries of the gopas to Sri Nanda Maharaj in his assembly hall. Is there any questions?
Ras Leelas, and in this they perform the activities of Krishna, and there are many which are not described in the scriptures, but then these are written by some very pure devotees in their ecstasies or and is it possible that when the person is on that platform of Raganu Bhakti and is experiencing directly all these pastimes, then he writes down, and these are the actually happenings in the spiritual world, conversations, etc., and the different instances which may not be referred in some of the scriptures.
Yes. Krishna's wonderful pastimes are unlimited. The Srimad Bhagavatam, the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, the Padma Purana describes many of the wonderful pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. But we find in the literatures of the six Goswamis many, many wonderful pastimes of Krishna Leela, and amplifications of various pastimes that are revealed to them. Of course, we know that the six Goswamis are Nitya Siddhas. They are all headed by Rupa Manjari, who is an eternal associate of the spiritual world. And they are revealing through their writings many, many wonderful pastimes in this way. But they are always in the same siddhanta, with the same conclusion and in line with what is revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And similarly, we read in the commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur how he is explaining in so many ways the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He is describing in so many ways various details from Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna's Leela that are not directly revealed in the Bhagavat. So yes, Krishna often reveals wonderful, wonderful truths through the hearts of his pure devotees who reveal it to the world. Now, the great question at hand is, are these things we are hearing actually coming from the transparent heart of great acharyas, or are they simply the poetic imagination of not such a transparent via medium? And therefore, we should be very careful. We should be very careful that who we are hearing from has the authority and the approval of our spiritual master and the trusted Vaishnavas. Oftentimes, even if these pastimes are written in some state of imagination without real realization, they are quite harmless. Huh? But a mature and sober Vaishnava is not concerned with simply putting his consciousness on what is harmless. But he wants to focus his mind always on the absolute truth, on the real, authorized, divine pastimes of Sri Krishna. And they are revealed not by scholars and story writers and drama writers and poets, but they are revealed through the hearts of the purest, most totally surrendered bhaktas. Huh? Is there any other question? Does that answer your question? Sometimes people even write these stories and dramas for money. Because people will pay good money to see them. They will get many donations. This is their livelihood. Huh? Just like there are so many novel writers. That's their profession. They just write one novel after another novel after another, one book after another book after another book. Some become bestsellers, and they make their living like that. Well, similarly, we hate to say it, but there are people who just write pastimes of Krishna in the same mood. If they have their drama troupes and they perform leelas, and if they have new leelas that nobody's ever seen before, people will come and they will give nicer donations, they will pay more. Huh? Krishna does not reveal his eternal pastimes through such people. He reveals his eternal pastimes through the hearts of those pure devotees who have detached themselves from everything except his loving service. Huh? Yes?
Raja, just talking about these gopis and prajavasis, the thing is that they have seen this leela of Krishna in presence of them, and they have seen in front of them all these leelas. And after that, Krishna went away from them, and he went to Mathura and Dwarka. And they were able to sustain themselves for more than 100 years in feelings of separation because they have seen those leela in front of them, and they were just thinking and contemplating those leelas, and they were able to sustain their life. Whereas we have been told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that we have to be having feelings of separation, we are away from Krishna. But the problem for us is we have not seen all these things. We don't have that think in our mind because we have not personally seen Krishna, we have not. And then in that circumstances, how to have that feeling in our mind, although we have not seen personally Krishna or we have not seen this pastime in front of us itself? And how to have that Vipralamba Seva, feelings of separation, without seeing personally anything?
These feelings of separation cannot be imagined or imitated. But they are given to us by the grace of Krishna, by the grace of Sri Radharani, and by the grace of the spiritual master and the previous acharyas. But we should want it. We should desire to long for Krishna. Huh? We should see how the great acharyas are longing for Krishna. And we should aspire for that type of longing, which comes simply through purification. By chanting the holy names attentively, by serving the Vaishnavas attentively, by executing the order of the spiritual master attentively, gradually we become purified. And gradually these feelings of separation from Krishna become our natural state of consciousness. It is not that we practice feeling separation. We practice engaging in devotional service. But in our practice for devotional service, we want to please Guru. We want to please the sadhus. We want to please Krishna. Because we know that if they are pleased only, will they award us by their divine grace these ecstatic, wonderful feelings of separation. And then they will come. By hearing about these symptoms of separation and by serving, gradually they awaken in our heart. If they have not awakened in your heart, that means it is not the proper time for you to meditate on such advanced levels of bhakti. Do your seva, do your nam jap, do your bhajan. Be a nice servant of the Vaishnavas. All these realizations will awaken when Krishna feels you are in the proper state of consciousness. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Good evening.